Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Vernon Muhammad, and you are now listening to the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm so glad you can join us. We are strictly business today, and I told you that we had something special lined up for you. I hope you're ready because we're going to put people on the hot seat. Well, I shouldn't say that because I want y'all to join in on the conversation. You know, it's going to be a nice, easy conversation. Everybody call in. We're going to have fun. No, we're all going to have fun. But today's topic is, what should a brother do to adequately prepare for marriage or for courtship? There's something that you have to do. There's some position that you should try your best to make sure you're in. And it's not very likely that somebody's going to sit you down and say, all right, look at here, son, you want to have this and you want to do that and you want to make sure that this is in place. Many of us learn by trial and error. Many of us, we just are flying by the seat of our pants. So we want to take some time, and at least if we're not going to have somebody sit us down and talk to us about what we should do and what we need to know, we at least want to give it some thought. We want to have a conversation amongst ourselves. So this is going to be a brotherhood chat. We're going to have some brothers call in. We got a panel. Actually, let me do this first. Let me apologize. Everyone knows that today is Father's Day. Some of us forgot that today is Father's Day. We look at Father's Day for many of us like any other day. We just do what it is we have to do. So, some of the people who were invited to be on the panel, that they were going to be, you know, taken out or wherever it was that we were going to go or wherever it was that their family was going to take them or do for them, they were just like another Sunday. So we have some people who are going to be in on the conversation and others who may have to join the conversation another time. But in any case, we want to make sure that we bring to light some of the ideas that are in mind, bring to light some of the important points that we wish somebody would have sat down and told us. Maybe that can be of benefit to someone else. And in case you are in that position, you know, you're about to make your move, you're about to step up to the plate and declare your interest and intention to be the honest man in some woman's life, or whether you are a woman and you have your eye on somebody who needs to have a little help in that department, maybe what you need to do is share this link and pay attention very, very closely, because it's possible that we may have some good advice and good ideas that we bring to light. I'm going to be pulling from a few different resources. And also on the line, I have my good brother from St. Louis, Brother Kareem Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Vernon.
How are you feeling today, brother?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad.
All right. Indeed. Once we start with that premise, we can't go wrong. So let's build from that point on. Brother, let me ask you this question. I know that you've had experience. You've been married before, at least once before. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Right, absolutely, now, I have.
Did anybody sit you down beforehand and tell you, school you, as we say? Did anybody sit you down beforehand and tell you all of the pitfalls that you need to watch out for and let you know where all of the grease holes and the, you know, the quick pits to hell?
Well, I would have to say this. Someone did sit me down and talk to me. However, there were many things that they couldn't inform me about, because some things you're going to have to learn through experience. However, let me just lay this out like this. I was born and raised in the Nation of Islam myself, and I was raised, there was a father in the home, but I was raised by my mother, who is MGT. So I was given some guidance, but there were many things, honestly, that I had to learn by trial and error. And like I say, really just experience for myself to learn what to do and what not to do.
Okay. All right. That in some instances, that sounds like many of us, you know, we get that. We may get a little something here, a little something there. And, you know, of course, mommy and daddy did the best that they could with what they knew. You know, you got one
right.
generation to the next, and you know, each generation rolls a little bit differently. So we always have a little bit of something to take forward with us. But in reality, especially nowadays, there's many people who don't even have half of what you said you got or what I got. You know, I was blessed. I'm fortunate to have grown up in a household where I did have both my mother and father right there. You know, and both of them were involved and very concerned about what was going on with me and my life as I was being raised. So that's a blessing. That's fortunate. But there's a lot of people I'm finding, you know, I just seems maybe strange to me because it's not my reality. But there are people who actually didn't grow up like that. They didn't get the input. They only grew up in a one-parent household. Or if there was two parents there, they actually have a parent that didn't show care and concern. So there's a lot of gaps and holes that need to be filled in. And when brothers get to this point in their life where they're obviously their own man, you know, they can't lean on anybody else anymore. They certainly got to pull their own weight and handle their own share. Many instances, you know, if you like the average brother, there's just stuff you don't know, would like an answer to, but like you said, you got to figure it out on your own. You got to experience it like riding a bike. So hopefully in this conversation we'll shorten that curve a little bit because from where I was told, each one is supposed to reach one and teach one, and we're supposed to be steel sharpening steel so that if there's some insight on this particular subject, we ought to leave this episode of the No Romance Without Finance show with our brothers being a little bit better equipped.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I'm hoping that throughout the brothers that I talk to in my network, throughout the people that have gotten the link to this show and any other people who are in a position to teach and train and share insight, if they're listening now, please weigh in on this. It's your if you got a you know that role, if you play that role in the greater community, and you know you wear that title or you hold a post or something like that, then you ought to have something to share too. So if you know of people who are like that, send a link out to them, invite them to this discussion because it's not just the Vernon Show, it's the No Romance Without Finance Show, and we all want to learn and grow and benefit from this discussion. But in the meantime, I want to share some ideas, and Brother Kareem, you can tell me if I'm on the right course or maybe you might have a different kind of spin to put on this, but there's some things that I've observed, you know, like you say, get that experience and just find out as you go along, but I've observed that whenever there's information that's coming out on financial literacy, you know, learning what to do with your money, what to do in business, getting in business, it might sound weird, but I think that it's very, very helpful for brothers in general, especially if you realize that you're a little bit behind the curve, behind the eight ball, you got some catching up to do. Sometimes they put information and teaching courses out there for women because it's assumed that women know less about money and less about managing finances and less about entering into business than men do. So there's a lot of information, there's a lot more focus on educating women in these areas and helping them to catch up and shorten the gap as soon as possible. I think that it's a real good idea if brothers would look into some of those books and some of those instructional, you know, sessions, whether it's articles, whether it's, you know, videos that come on PBS, whatever. Because there's a lot of basic good information that can help you if you're starting from ground zero or if you're a little bit behind and need to play catch up. If your credit's already bad, you need to repair. That's the type of information they talk to. If you haven't established, you know, credit for yourself, if all along your finance was in somebody else's hands and you really need to pick up the ball and start running now, that's how they teach it. As opposed to, you know, listening to the guy on Mad Money, you know, he's talking about take your IRA and your 401k portfolio and invest it, you know. The average brother don't have that. many, you know, some of us may be in that position. I know I have a goal to have an investment portfolio, you know, all around the world that's in the seven figures or producing seven figures annually, but I'm not there yet. So to tell me, take your Roth IRA and, you know, roll that over into this, that, or the other, you know, that's speaking above the average person's head. So what do you think about that, that resource, even though it says women in business? Brothers should pay attention to that.
Yes, sir, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And my reason for saying that is that when we talk about it, as our topic or our subject is, you know, preparing oneself for courtship or for marriage, I think that we need to live base and understand that, you know, the majority of individuals, they don't even know what the word court or courtship is. You know, the majority of individuals, you know, particularly among us, we're out dating, quote unquote, you know. But I'm going on a date, you know, and hopefully during this dating experience, I will find somebody that I may want to spend the rest of my life with. I mean, everything's a kind of a maybe, you know. There's no definite in it. You know, I may find somebody or I may not, or majority of individuals really during this particular point in time are not really, from the individuals I've run into and talked to, either they have been disillusioned by experiences they have had or disillusioned by experiences those who came before them had, and so they're not really looking to be in a marriage, you know. And like I said, they have no idea what a courtship is. And just on that point, when you're courting, the difference between courting and dating, and I know some people may take issue with this, but let's be realistic. When you're talking about dating, and not to get off topic, but usually when an individual is talking, I'm going to just say it, talking to a professional in the field, and I'm talking about the sisters now, she will ask the question, are you dating tonight? Do you want to date tonight? And then it's a business transaction. And so honestly, when you look at that word dating, dating literally is you're setting up a time and a place, or at a particular time and a particular place, and I'm going to just say it, for a booty call. That's what it is. Ultimately, that's what it is. You know, courting is entirely different, because courting, in the word courting, you have the word court. And we all know that normally, like when you go to court, that's serious business. Like you said, we strictly business here. And when you court, then you both, the man and the woman, bring to the table your evidence, what you have to offer the other individual, how you two can build together in this relationship. And so that's what courting is as opposed to dating. So now, that having been said, what you were talking about, like you said, they do. They mostly offer these courses, and they're geared toward, quote-unquote, women, you know, how to start a business, how to grow your business, things of that nature. However, as men, and particularly, I'm going to say this, particularly as black men living here in America, I don't know about anybody else, and I mean, I don't know this because I'm out there searching for a job. All praise is due to Allah. Allah has blessed me to be self-employed now for at least the past 22 years, you know. And the thing is that, but if you're out there and you're looking for work, you see that particularly for us, there are no jobs. And I'm going to say this. It's sad to say, but, bruh, you're not going to be able to get and maintain a woman without a source of income. That's just not happening. And I would
say that again.
Yes, sir. And I would dare say that if you get a female who's willing to put up with you and deal with you, and you have no income, what does that say about you? What does that say about her? And where are you going? Not talking down to you or talking bad about you, but where are you going? So, yes, we have to avail ourselves of every form of information. We have to avail ourselves of every type of education that would allow us to have a steady source of income, that would allow us to begin to move up and move forward. Because I don't want to get, you know, past, you know, the question that you asked, you know.
I'm glad you went there. That you raised an interesting point, and as we go along, you know, I hope that we'll be able to throw out just some basic things that brothers need to have in mind as a standard. You know, this is just the baseline. Even if you buy yourself, before you think about adding someone else to the mix, someone else to your equation, before you think about inviting someone else into your life, just like when you invite a guest over to your home, you take the time to clean up. You make sure that, you know, you make sure that the place ain't stinking. You know, you make sure that the trash is taken out. You make sure that, you know, ain't no dishes piled up in the sink. You get your house in order to a degree before you ask somebody to come on in and join you in that place.
Yes.
Even if you got a one room, even if you got an efficiency, a studio apartment, and by the ultimate grace of Allah, you find a sister that's willing to accept you and to join you in life in that one room, you still got to be maintaining that room for yourself. You can't be about to get kicked out of there and think that you're going to, you know, invite somebody, have somebody who's willing to step into that situation with you. You can't even maintain a roof over your own head, much less somebody else's. And you're not stepping into the equation so that you can lean and lay on somebody else, because that's not what men do. So it's just a baseline. If you know that you're struggling just to maintain yourself, then you know you got to put some work in. You got to put some, get your weight up and learn what it takes to maintain at a sufficient level for yourself, so that you are able to invite somebody else in. That's a critical point right there. And I think that a lot of brothers miss that. They don't take the time to learn how, if they just have that one job and that job may or may not be doing enough for them, they got to learn, like you said, you've been in business for yourself. You've been working for yourself for 22 years. It's almost a survival skill now to be able to learn how to produce income from various places. And I think I'm gonna get into that a little later on, because we're going to talk about preparing ourselves, what kind of skills is good for a man to have under his belt or in his toolbox, so that no matter where you are, what circumstance you find yourself in, if you need extra, you always have something to pull on that will help you to get that extra. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but I'm thankful that you brought that up, Brother Kareem, because that's one of the areas that I definitely wanted to go into.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
All right. So let's do this. Another area that we want to look. What I did was I went to Google. And, you know, if you want to find anything, just Google it.
Just Google it.
I went to Google, and we got a caller who's on the line who wants to join the conversation. Caller, I'm going to bring you in just a minute. Give me a second. I'm going to make this point, and then I'll bring you right in. But I went to Google, and I looked up what men need to know about women and money. I looked up what men need to do to prepare for marriage, and I looked up marriage and money. And I got a couple of sites, a couple of things that came up, and you know, to that first point, as I said, you know, if we find some of the information that these people who write or these people who advise are gearing towards women, we should pay attention to that. There is this one site, actually it's Oprah.com. Oprah, in her Empower Yourself segment, basically what we're talking about is empowering ourselves so we can step up to the next level, right? Even though she's gearing this to women, listen to what she tells women that they should probably, you know, do. Actually, it says what every married woman should know about money. And if the married woman knows this about money, it's certain that the married man should know this about money. or the man who's thinking about getting married. Now, this is the perspective that she's coming from when she writes this article. It's actually not Oprah who writes it. It's Carol Mithers, I think that says, the print is so small. Carol Mithers says, with close to 50% of marriages ending in divorce, and now we know it's beyond that number, close to 50%, she says, ending in divorce, letting your spouse handle the monetary chores is a risk that could have you financially vulnerable. No one wants to live as though they're just waiting for their relationship to implode, but you should know that there are simple, effective, and not at all hostile ways to protect yourself just in case. Now, ain't nothing wrong with protecting yourself at all, is there, Brother Kareem?
No, sir.
That's and there's right. nothing wrong with being in the know and being proficient in various different areas, is there?
No, this is a must.
All right. So far, even though this is an article that's talking to women about money, we ain't heard nothing that we can't adopt and incorporate for ourselves yet. So now, one of the points that he brings up, check this out, starts with number one. It says, carry your own plastic. Now, I'm going to translate these as I read them so that they're directly applicable to men. Now, she tells women, carry your own plastic. If every bank account and credit card is in your husband's name, you'll be a financial nobody without him, which is what she's telling the women. Before you do anything else, open up a bank account and get a credit card in your name. Now, check this out. It's not unrealistic, from what I've been told and what I've lived as experience, for a couple to get together and establish joint accounts, okay? If it's just one joint account and you pay all of the bills out of that one joint account, or if you establish several joint accounts for different things. There are different ways to handle the money and to handle how you take care of your finances. But I think it's very, very wise for a brother especially to always have a reserve tank, always have a side stash, if you want to call it, always have something in the back pocket, however you want to put it. You got to have something off to the side, okay? You got to have a safe, you know, some under the floorboard, behind the drawer, whatever it is, a little bit extra, because you're almost without fail, you're going to run up to something where what you thought you had wasn't enough, or where everybody else who's in the boat with you doesn't have it, and they all at the same time turn to you. So she's saying carry your own plastic. Have a side stash or a separate account that's just yours. You know what's in it. You maintain it for whatever purposes you deem are necessary. Somebody pointed out something to me that was very critical. I'm into taking classes and courses for stuff that I don't know. I don't have a problem paying for knowledge because you're going to pay for what you don't know anyway. Okay, so I'd rather pay to get that knowledge so that I don't have to pay for it again. But you can't rob your family. You can't take from the rent money to do what you want to do just because you want to do it. That's not a good practice. You got the money that's for the rent, for the light bill, for the food, to take care of the family or whatever the case may be, and then you should have money that's for whatever extra you deem it necessary for. So having your own stash is critical. Here's another one. Read the fine print. Look over all tax returns, investment agreements, real estate contracts, legal documents carefully. Get a credit report annually so that there are no surprises in your family's debt situation. Check that out. This is just good common sense for anybody, but certainly it's good for a brother to do this and take care of this before you step up to that point. Some of you may be doing it, that's good, but there's always a situation where we can find someone who doesn't know. That's why I'm covering the basics first. We're going to get into the good stuff a little bit later. The next point in this article says, define what's yours, what's mine, and what's ours. Now, check that out. That goes back to that first point. You know, we know that we're getting together, we're joining, we're combining, so there's got to be a joint aspect to the finances. in a relationship. But to some degree, there's got to be something that is just for the sister to take care of her needs. There's got to be something that you have just to take care of your needs that doesn't impact or take away from the family's pool resources. Now, in this, we talk about a post-nuptial agreement to protect your assets accrued after the marriage or during the marriage, such as inheritance and things like that. Make sure you're listed on the deed to your home, joint owner on that, or that the house is classified as community property. Again, you know, take into consideration that this article is being written for women or for somebody who typically has been getting the short end of the stick. But you want to be mindful that you just invited someone into your life. You just opened up what you have. There should be some kind of fairness and sharing to a degree. So you have to really sit down and piece apart how are you going to share what's there. There's some people who are like, look, you know, I came with this and this is mine. You came with that, that's yours. And that's just how it is. You know, we both working, so I'll take care of this, that, and that. You working, you take care of this, this, and that. You know, some people do it like that. Some people say, well, okay, look, you know, I'm into the traditional thing. You know, I understand that roles are roles. The man takes care of whatever it is. And if what you can take care of is this one-room apartment, then that's what we're going to do, and I'm going to be comfortable with that, and, you know, that's going to be our life together. If you get a woman that tells you that, then Allah bless you. Just handle what you got to handle. Now, there's one or two more of these points. It says don't give up bill-paying duties. Now, obviously, in today's world, in any world, no man is going to give up bill-paying duties. If you do, I'm sure, I'm almost certain that any woman you are interested in is going to run from you like she got wings on her feet. So stay on top of bills. Don't let the bills drop. Don't let the bills fall. Try your best not to get behind, but here's two schools of thought, and Brother Kareem, maybe you can shed some light on this. Mm-hmm. Is openness and honesty is supposed to be a good thing? Openness and honesty is supposed to be, you know, what you lead with. If something happens, if you know, life can get cut off. Some people think you're supposed to, you know, sound the alarm well enough in advance, up front, let everybody know what's getting ready to happen. That way, you know, if we got to marshal forces, if we got to pull together, if we got to, you know, buckle down or whatever, then, you know, at least we can prepare for it. There's going to be bumps and hurdles and, you know, pitfalls and disappointments along the way. Some people think that you got to just, you know, put that out there. It's okay if it happens, just, you know, make sure we're not blindsided. Some people, there's no room for error. You do not let the light bill get not paid this week. I don't want to hear no, don't worry, I'll get it back on after the weekend. That's not happening. What do you think about that? What do you think about if there is going to be a pitfall or a mistake? Don't worry, you know, you share with the family, you let the wife know, and you just work on it together. Or is it realistic to say that, hey, that ain't happening because women don't want to hear anything about that, and you better not let the ball drop?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, in response to that, I want to say this, share this. You know, and a lot of the points, you know, or some of the points, I'll put it this way, that you read, you know, from, you know, I think it was an article about Oprah Winfrey, correct?
Right, from Oprah.com.
Okay, Oprah.com. And let me say this first, and don't get me wrong, I love Oprah. I have much respect and honor for my sister, and she does a lot of good things, and sometimes she gives some good information. However, Oprah isn't married. I'm just being real. Oprah isn't married. So Oprah can't tell you how to be successfully married. I mean, this is something that this society does all the time. You have individuals who have never experienced a particular way of life or done something successfully, but they become the experts because of their celebrity on how to tell other people to do it, you know. I know there's a saying I used to hear when I was coming up, it said that those that can do, those that can't teach. Well, that reminds me of a saying in the Bible where it say, you know, the blind leading the blind, and I'm just being real about that. I want to share this real quickly because I myself, I'll use this language. I'll say this is my opinion, okay, that in order for us to be successful in a courtship, because that's what courtship is ultimately designed to do, it's designed to lead to a marriage, then we have to go to the source. And the source itself is God Almighty, regardless of what your religious persuasion may be or how you look at things. I want to share this. It's from the Bible. It's in Matthew. The book of Matthew is chapter 19. And it reads such. It starts in verse 4 is where I'm starting at. It says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Now, having shared that means that, like I said, courtship, we deal with a courtship, we're talking about going into a marriage. And I understand, and I hear people say this all the time, I've been married 5 times, I've been married 2 times, I've been married 3 times, okay? And even some people say, I've been married 1 time, you know, speaking of it in the past tense. Well, I'm here to say, and again, people may disagree, however, a person's disagreement or disbelief does not alter the fact that marriage, when you look it up, marriage means to unite, to become one. And we just read where it says, what God hath joined together, let no man rend asunder. We are taught in Islam that Allah hates divorce. And when we understand that marriage is the quintessential, or should I say, let me use some nickel words. Marriage is the ultimate expression. It's the ultimate expression on this level of the human being joining with God. That's why throughout the Bible, you notice that when it talks about God coming and us seeing God and being with God, God is referred to as the groom, and the people are referred to as the bride. So a marriage does not end in divorce. A marriage is successful. It does not end, because once we become one with God, that doesn't end, never ends. See, but I say people may disagree. However, just look at the facts, weigh it. A marriage is successful. When I have gone through the ceremony, the marriage ceremony, that's all it is. That means that I and another person, a woman, and I'm going to say that, and no, I'm not homophobic. Homosexual people do not frighten me. I'm not frightened of them. I am frightened for them because of the consequences of what their actions are. But that's not our topic this evening. The thing is that when the man and the woman come together to marry and they have this ceremony, when we have the ceremony, all we've done is state our intention to join into a union and become one before God and witnesses, human beings. That's not the marriage. The marriage is the journey from beginning to end, the ups and downs, the being together. And now to what we were discussing, what you were talking about, like you said, you used the example of the light bill, things going on, being honest in the relationship. I want to say it like this. It is my belief that when we go into this relationship, known as marriage. If we are setting up separate things, see, the scripture just said the two shall become one. So when we go out and we start setting up separate accounts, separate this, separate that, I mean, now we, when we come into the relationship and we have been doing things, of course we already have separate this and separate that. However, if we're coming together to be one, there should be no separation whatsoever. That's why the majority of people, they go in with the idea, well, if it doesn't work, if he doesn't do this, if she doesn't do that, I can always get divorced. Well, you've shot yourself in the foot already. Because when we enter into a marriage, when we enter into a marriage, we should have the firm idea that I am going to do whatever it takes, short
right.
of disobeying God, to make this work. So that means for example, if we don't do this, well, there needs to be an account over here so that, well, you know, baby may want to go and buy a new pair of shoes, and but we don't want to take away from the monies that we have to pay the bills and to do the, well, wait a minute. See, we're in this together. So as long as we are managing things correctly together, and there are no secrets, all right, then, and all of the resources are pooled. I mean, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just again, for the second time in my lifetime, has reintroduced the three-year economic plan. That don't just refer to us putting our nickels and dimes together to send some money to Chicago. That also has to work in the home. We pull our resources. We do the same thing. And therefore, when we are together as one, the lights don't get cut off because the resources are there and then they are properly allocated for what needs to be taken care of in the home. Now, in some situations, particularly today, oftentimes sister may have a greater income than the man coming into the relationship. Again, this is what the courtship is for. But when we have a good understanding of what a marriage truly is, a lot of these issues will not come up. Yes, I agree. I agree that, yes, sister should have, okay, quote, unquote, they say her own plastic. Yes, there are some funds she should have. And if I may, very quickly, because I don't want to hold up things. But that comes here. And that's, I'm going to read now from the Holy Quran, Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. It's page 194. It's Surah, chapter 4, entitled The Women. And, excuse me, it's verse 4. It states, and give women their dowries as a free gift. But if they of themselves be pleased to give you a portion thereof, consume it with enjoyment and pleasure. Now, so in today's society, we know that often most of us, we're not in a position to give a dowry. No, we just give her money. In the old days, as they said, that's what you would do. You would give her a certain amount of money. You would give her a chest full of jewels. Okay, we're not rolling like that today. At least I'm not. I know I'm not. You know, I mean, I have assets, but I'm not rolling like that. So in giving her a dowry, I'll put it this way. During the time that my wife and I were together at that time, now, I paid all the bills. I made sure there was groceries in the house because me and other maintainers were women. I made sure that everything was taken care of. I was even taking care of paying some debts that she had before we came together. But yet, it was no problem because that's my duty. And I also gave her an allowance to have money so she'd have her own funds because she was not working at the time. And on top of that, gave her two businesses for herself. Now, when she went, and because she has professional expertise, very intelligent woman, professional woman, has professional expertise. When she would go and get little positions and temporary jobs because that's what she wanted to do, I never asked her, when do you get paid? I never asked her, how much do you have? I had never said, well, you know, this bill is due, and since you work this week or you work this month, you need to put in. No. So in that sense, yes. Okay. Because Allah tells us in Quran that a woman's money is her own. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Before we even enter into that type of union, we need to be prepared as men to completely pull our weight. And the way that we do that is, like you said, we got to avail ourselves of all the information that's out there. However, when we have proper teaching, and that's why we have classes, when we have proper teaching and we go according to the correct guidance that I believe comes out of the scripture and will also come from, this is something I know is very important, why would I go to someone who has been divorced 900 times to seek information on how to have a successful marriage, or go to someone who's never been married to seek information? No, I will go to those elders. And when I say elders, I don't necessarily mean old folks. I mean people who have evidence of longevity in a happy, successful marriage. That's who I'm going to go to and say, well, hey, what do you all do? How did you all handle the finances? How do you have? This is where I will get my information from, as well as from those other sources that tell me or give me educational information on, you know, setting up a business or my finances. I think the best source is for those who are currently engaged in a successful marriage.
No doubt, no doubt. Let me do this. I have a caller on the line. We want to get some more feedback from other people who want to join the conversation before we lose them. So we got a caller from 301-674. Your microphone is open. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. Who's this?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Eric Fivex. How's it going, Brother Eric?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I've just been listening to your show, brother, and I tell you, this is definitely inspirational. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. But, good stuff. We definitely want to make sure that we bring to light what needs to be put on the table. You know, and I want to hear what you have to say, what you have to add to the equation. But let me clarify one thing. Brother Kareem went in on Oprah Winfrey because, you know, Oprah Winfrey ain't never been married. The theme of the show is, what do we need to do financially to get out of stuff in order to prepare for marriage? The only reason why, and Oprah didn't necessarily write that particular article. You know, when you big ball of shot call, you can get the experts around you. So she got some other lady, Kathy Minter, I think is what the name says, who wrote these particular points. Now, the only reason that I would look in that section is because as it relates to finances, Oprah is successful. Yes, indeed. Yes. We definitely want to find, and I'm certainly looking for, other married, successful people to have them weigh in. You know, I'm looking for their writings, and I'm looking for them to be a part of this conversation. But, you know, they didn't step up. So that is part of the problem, which I identified in the beginning. Yeah. We don't have resources. Nobody's sitting us down. We don't have the people who could make it their business to teach these things, actually doing that on a wide scale, because there are so many people who still aren't in the know. So we want to find the information from wherever we can find it and see what works, see what is applicable, just like in anything else in life. See what's applicable. See if it fits. If it fits, put that jacket on. If it don't fit, put that to the side. But right now, the conversation is primarily about how can we get ourselves in financial order, because one of the biggest impediments, or even if it's a false, what is it, false evidence accepted as reality, is that brothers just don't and can't get their financial game up to even approach the idea of marriage or courtship. So we can get that out of the way, empower people so that they know what to do and make the right steps, then we can see some motion in that area. So I hope everybody takes that with a grain of salt. And Brother Eric, I want to hear from you, so let me know what you got.
Hello?
Yes, sir,
yes,
brother,
sir.
We hear you.
Hello? Yeah, brother, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine, brother.
Okay. Yeah, because my phone is breaking. I mean, what I wanted to add, I mean, you guys have really, you know, painted a serious canvas, but what I wanted to ask for the brothers is we need a plan. If you're planning on going into marriage, before you even consider marriage, you should already be in the process of creating a plan. And what I call it is an entrance into and an exit out of. And you need to create a plan that involves, you know, you taking on a partner or a wife to where, you know, from the beginning to the end, you know, where you want to be in a certain amount of time and what you together want to be doing as a group, and even if you have children. Because all of that, if you stay together long enough, is going to come into play as far as you trying to keep a marriage together and trying to make it a success. You know, but most of the time, I think get caught up some in the emotion. The other part of it, we get caught up in how great it would be just to be married because we hear the talk of marriage. And we lose sight that, you know, you're taking on another individual that they have different, you know, aspirations altogether from what you have. And if you don't have a plan on how you're going to help her or address her, then eventually it's going to become a sour note and you're going to lose her. So I think in the beginning, I mean, even before you get married, you need to have a plan. You need to create a plan. If you don't already have one, because one thing I realized being married is women want a man who have an idea of where they're going. And if you don't have an idea of where you're going, then I think the minister said it, you know, I can't remember exactly how he put it, but, you know, if he don't have any place for you to go, then sisters, you need to leave him alone. And I'm paraphrasing it all, but that's the thing. We got to have a plan. We got to have an idea of where we're not only taking ourselves, but where we're taking our sister or we're taking our family. And if you don't have a plan, you're basically going to end up, you know, just maneuvering in circles, and eventually it's going to get boring, it's going to get tiresome, and you're going to end up, you know, losing each other. So, I mean, that's my perspective on it. You know, you need to create a plan, a financial plan, a spiritual plan. I mean, you know, I mean, whatever plan you think you need to create one. And one thing I understand being married is no finance means no romance. So you always got to find a way to be making some money. And that's one of the plans you need to start on right away is find a way to make some money. So you can pay them bills and, you know, take care of your wife and your children. And from there, most, I ain't going to say all women, I think most women, as long as they have that security of a roof over their head, food in the fridge, clothes on their back, and maybe a little bit of transportation, most of them are content. But once that, those things start to wing or fade away or start having trouble with or you know, it seems like it's difficult to maintain, then the women start to become nervous or they may even start to question your manhood as if to say, you know, you brought me into this, but you're not man enough to take care of me. And that brings open a whole nother, you know, realm of conversation. But a plan from the beginning to the end is necessary, as far as I'm concerned, in order to have a successful marriage. And
that's
to even think
clear
about marriage, you want to have
one. Yeah. Sir, that's pretty right. What you are saying right now is really so on target. You know, you referenced the minister and how he said if a man isn't going anywhere, then, you know, you either need a help meet to help them go nowhere. So you got to at least have a mission statement. You got to at least have an idea of what it is you want to accomplish with your life. That way you know on the daily or, you know, month by month or quarter by quarter, you know, you have certain projects or certain goals that you're already in motion striving towards. Then when you see someone who fits into your vision or your mission, you have a fertile ground to see whether this is a good fit or not. But if you're not going anywhere, you don't even know where you're going, you can't waste anybody else's time asking them to join you. You may finally get the idea of where you're going later on down the line and realize you're with the wrong person. So you gotta know what your destination is before you get on the road. So I appreciate what you're saying, brother. You're right on point, and that's something that we can definitely put down as something critical that every brother needs to know about before they step up to the plate to think about marriage or courtship. Let's do this. We are approaching the bottom half an hour of the show. I want to take a real quick break, and then we want to come back. I have so much more that I want to share, and we want to keep the discussion going. So hold on. Just give me a couple minutes. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back and turn up the heat a little bit. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. Hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, it's the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad, and on the line with us, we have Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, and we have Brother Eric Clivex, who is from the D.C. area. I want to take a moment and let you all know about our sponsors. We got the stable and consistent sponsor, which is Freedom Paper Company. For those of you who don't know, Muslims in the Nation of Islam have gotten together and began manufacturing and distributing a brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash bags, all things that you can regularly use and purchase. Now you can purchase these items from your own people in your own community and support a socially responsible business. And now Freedom Paper Company actually has printer paper. If you have a computer and you use a printer, you no longer have to go to Staples or Office Depot or any place else. You can even support black businesses when you buy your printer paper. FreedomPaperCompany.com. Hit the website, visit, check us out, support your brothers and sisters, and let's get this cooperative economics and the black economy rolling and doing things for ourselves and for our neighbors. And also, a new sponsor that we have is an answer to a prayer, an answer to something that is sorely needed. We have many entrepreneurs and many business owners in and throughout our nation, but we don't know who we all are and what we all have to offer. Sometimes the resources that we need are right at our fingertips. It's just a phone call away from the brother or sister who's sitting right next to us. Now there's the Nation's Business Exchange, NOIBiz.net, NOIBiz.net. If you hit that website, you'll find more and more and more entrepreneurs from the Nation of Islam that have businesses, services, or products to offer, and there are going to be different ones that are featured on that site on the regular. So the database is being built. More people, we now have a platform that we can begin to publicize and promote ourselves and our ventures. And if you have a business, if you are an entrepreneur and you want to get your business out there for more people to see from different locations than just where you are and who you can reach on your own, take a look at noibiz.net. All right, we want to get back to the conversation. Our topic is, what do brothers need to know or learn to prepare themselves, to be prepared, to get prepared, to step up to the plate from courtship and marriage? And I'm glad, Brother Kareem, that you made the distinction between dating and courtship, because we are about serious business. When you get into the realm of a relationship with a woman, you really want to make sure that you are right for her, and you want to make sure that she is right for you. We don't have time for playing around. We don't have time for getting caught up in the rapture of love, like Anita Baker says. We want to make sure we're dealing with actual facts so that we can be right and exact, so that even if we don't have ourselves perfect, we know that we're in motion and moving towards getting the picture to be as neat and clean as we possibly can get it. You want to know that you pick someone who will be patient with you and give you the time to get where you need to be, and you also want to see the value in the person that you pick so that that will increase your rate of travel to success. So that's why we're doing the show today. We want to make sure that we got our minds focused on what's important and what's most critical in preparing ourselves, training and conditioning ourselves to meet and overcome all obstacles that may be in our path. That's what this is about. So I want to get back to the last three or four points on this particular list of what people should know about money, what anybody in a marriage should know about money. This is particularly geared to women, but there are some good points in these last three points that we have here. The next one says, get to know your financial advisor. And that's something that Brother Kareem said. He pointed out that who we really want to learn from, number one, the standard is God's word. There's no aspect of life that's not covered in the Bible and in the Quran. I've even heard the Bible referred to as basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, you can look in the Proverbs and you can find just about any aspect of life covered in Proverbs. Particularly, you can find guidance and instruction on handling money and doing business. So you definitely want to look at that. You definitely want to look at finance as it relates to Islam and what Islamic finance is all about, because even in the culture of Islam, even in this way of life, there is a way of handling money, of making money, of growing money that that was rooted in Allah's will. So we try our best to learn those things and learn from people who are knowledgeable about the spiritual aspect of handling finances, particularly as it relates to marriage. But here it also says, get to know investment planners. Get to know lawyers and accountants. If you stay small, then you may never have to speak to these people. If you don't intend for what you have to grow, if you don't intend for your territory to expand, you'll never have to deal with a lawyer, you'll never have to deal with an accountant. But if you're in business for yourself, even if you're a small business, you should have bookkeeping, accounting, and some aspect of business law working in your favor and on your side, whether you do it yourself or whether you get an expert to do it for you. Get to know advisors, people who you can turn to make sure that you're taking the right steps in these areas and in these directions. Here's Brother Eric's point, says make plans for the future. Make sure you and your spouse each have adequate life insurance. One of the listeners on the show suggested that you make sure you have a will in place. Here in this article says life insurance, a will, and a living trust. Consider putting money aside for long-term care. You never know. You don't know what is going to happen. The Quran says that Allah will raise you up and make you feel your brain works perfectly and you'll be smart, and then he'll take you into old age and you forget everything you ever knew. That happens. So you want to prepare, you want to have your plan, your safety net, you want to have something in place to take care of you in the future. While you are strong, while you are able to produce and work for yourself, put some tools and resources to work for you when you can no longer work for yourself. So you have these tools and resources working for you and working on your behalf to take care of you on into your old age. Don't neglect your retirement. Learn about that stuff. Here it talks about IRAs and 401ks. You can get into, you know, specifics and, you know, actually learning what different vehicles are that you can put your money into. But plan for your future. Just plan for when you get married. Don't plan for 1 or 2 years into the marriage. Like Brother Eric said, plan it from beginning to end. And end, there's no end to marriage. So you planning until you stop breathing. So carry your plan all the way through. And here's another one. This is a, I want to say a pet peeve, but recently, within the past 6 months, this has been echoing in my head over and over again. It says, keep your professional hat in the ring. Specialized knowledge. That's what I've been talking about and saying for the past few months, really. Specialized knowledge. We got to get some type of skill, some type of asset under our belt that we can always use and put to work on our behalf. Says, even if you plan to stay at home, stay with your job, whatever the case may be, maintain your network, stay in touch with colleagues, build your network so that no matter what comes in life, you'll always have people that you can turn to, resources that you can turn to. Anywhere you go in life, you're supposed to have a friend, right? Isn't that one of the things we promise, friendship in all walks of life? That's not just a saying. That don't just mean, you know, lady smiles at you when you get on the bus or, you know, a man holds the door when you walk past. You know, come on, friendship in all walks of life. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan goes from country to country, and he has people meet him at the airport and take care of everything that he needs. And even if he had an idea to do something grand while he was in one of those countries, he has people there who are willing to participate, willing to enable whatever it is that he sees needs to be done. We need to have that same type of network in our lives, not just a list of people that you know, but a network, people who you really have in your sphere of influence. That's critical. Have the network, have the connections and the people, but also have something that makes you a valuable player. Because when you have value, when you add value for people, you'll always have a means to generate income and increase your own financial well-being. Excuse me, because you always have something, a valuable asset, a specialized skill. I noticed for one period, 1 month, who I was spending money with. And even when I tried not to spend money, when I just had to spend money, I was spending money for people who had specialized knowledge. I had to go to a chiropractor. Specialized knowledge. I had to go to a mechanic to fix a particular piece of equipment. Specialized knowledge. When you think about what it is that you spend money on, either you waste money on stuff you could do yourself, or you spend money in areas where you have to go see somebody who is an expert. So vice versa, people will come see you if you are an expert in something. People will seek out your service or your product if you have specialized knowledge. So that's something that I wanted to make sure I put on the table. That's just one of the particular lists that I found, and I thought that it would be valuable because it's basic information, but it's something that if you're going to step up to the plate, I think that you or any brother definitely needs to make sure that that's part of the equation. So, Brother Kareem, still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. You have anything you want to weigh in on? Because we got one more caller on the line with a hand raised, and I want to make sure that we get everybody in.
Absolutely. Just very briefly, to reiterate what you and it was Brother Eric.
Brother Eric, right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just to reiterate what our brother said and what you expounded on, yes, we must have a plan. And just as you quoted, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, the woman is there to be a help meet, to help us meet our obligation to God. So if I don't know where I'm going or what I'm going to do, I don't need anybody to help me go nowhere. I'm doing just fine doing that on my own, you know, if I'm not going anywhere. And the thing is in that plan, just as you both said it excellently, but in that plan, I must, first of all, understand who I am and what my place is in this entire picture. You mentioned it when you said it, and it comes from our lessons, it's problem 13. And if you notice how that's set up, I think this is where a lot of us get twisted at. Now, Master Faraz Muhammad, sir? Okay. Is that me or?
That was okay. Me. I was saying don't get it twisted. But go ahead,
brother. Right. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Exactly. But many of us do get that twisted in that, because the way it states, I'm going to just state it. It says that mathematics is Islam and Islam is mathematics. And you can prove it at no limit of time. It says, and then now we must learn to use our mathematical theology to gain some benefit for ourselves while we are alive or while we live. And that's, and the way it's stated is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. Well, I'm just being real, and I don't want to insult anybody, but the God knows, and he knew even back during that time, how backwards our thinking is. If he had said to us, we're going to have some good friends in all walks of life, most of us would have turned away. Because, listen, man, I got friends, they ain't doing nothing for me. Okay, well, but you notice he qualified it and said, friendship in all walks of life, just as you said. So if I got friendship, let's look at that word friendship. A friend is someone whom I can depend on. My grandfather, I mean, that's in the simplest terms. My grandfather always taught me like this. He said, in order to have a friend, you must be a friend. But the word is friendship. Now, a ship is a vehicle that carries us from one place to another, from point A to point B. So friendship means a relationship with someone that's going to be beneficial for the both of us. So I was saying that to say that, like I said, he gave us that because if he had said us friends first, we wouldn't even took a second look at it. However, because of how our mentality is, he said luxury. Ooh, eyes got wide. Then he said money. Then he said a good home. When we're looking at a mansion, then he said, and friendship in all walks of life. And when we really come to recognize what's going on, it's the friendship in all walks of life that produce the other three, because those are the contacts, those are the connections, those are the people. Because it don't just drop out of the sky. Those are the people and the contacts that allow us to be able to maneuver economically to achieve those things. You know, and I'm just, like I said, I'm just, again, and I'm going to end it here. Yes, we must have a definite plan. Also, don't be afraid to be flexible with the plan. You know, I'm of this ilk. You court. So like I said, in the courting, you're bringing what you have to the table. So first of all, I got to know who I am. That way, once I know who I am and whose I am, then I know what direction I'm going to go into. I know what my talents are. I know what my areas of expertise are and how I can make them first serve the Creator, serve humanity in the best way, you know. Then it becomes, I'm not going to say easy, because I don't want to give people the wrong idea, but it becomes a little less difficult to begin to produce the finance which is going to be necessary to establish a base in which I can bring another individual into to help me continue to grow. And I'm going to leave it at that.
You know what, Brother Kareem, you just said something that for all my years in the Nation of Islam, I have one memory or one thing that anybody who's been in a position to teach me sticks with. You know, for every captain that I've had, I remember one thing at least that captain said that just, you know, I've never been able to forget. And there was a time when Brother Akil Muhammad was the regional captain for the Mid-Atlantic region. And one thing I remember him saying that I've never forgotten is he was talking to brothers, he said, you need to have a legitimate hustle for every bill that you have.
That means
you need to have a way to produce income for every obligation and responsibility that you have. You know, nowadays we say multiple streams of income. But that's something that maybe we'll do another show on, how to hustle, how to get your hustle on. One thing that is critical, no matter what, you know, line of work, business, whatever it is you're in, whatever it is you plan to do, one skill that you're going to have is the ability to sell and hustle. You have to, even if it's just the idea of yourself, especially when you come stepping up to a courtship, marriage, if you can't sell nothing else, you are selling yourself. You're selling and promoting yourself and the idea that you are worthy of the investment. So how to hustle, how to do just what you said, how to produce income, how to make money, you know, especially in changing times like this. It may be, I'm going to play with you, Brother Kareem, it may be easy for a brother like you who's been in business for himself for 22 years. You know, you've been at it for a long time. But what about a brother who's just starting out, or what about a brother who's, you know, had a career, he's worked a job all this time and is now just being introduced to the idea of do for self? How does that play out in these days and times? Because I guarantee you 2013 is a whole lot different than 1992, 1991, when I first heard the idea of do for self. Go ahead, get your hustle on, black man. Totally different.
Brother Vernon,
that's for another show. We're going to have to tackle that another time. We got another caller. We only got about 13 more minutes. I want to get this next caller in from the area code 540940. I just opened up your microphone. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show.
Hey, thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. Who's this?
In this so-called Father's Day, well, every day should be Father's Day, but I'm thankful to Allah for you brothers having this forum on Blog Talk. And it takes me back to, as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan telling us that there were three sciences that the slave master failed to teach us, and that was the science of business, the science of warfare, and the science of mating. And that's, again, I thank Allah for you brothers, because this forum here is busting all of that up, because we weren't taught that, you know. So that's what we, like say, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that to explain his job was actually Yaqub in reverse. You know, so again, brother, I thank Allah for you all, because this is what we need, man. You know, Obama is legalizing gay marriages, but the heterosexual marriages are gone to hell. He ain't offering no help there. You know, so again, brothers, this is Brother Tajuddin Shabazz. I'm out of Fredericksburg, Virginia. And, you know, I looked on Facebook and saw that y'all was having a forum. And again, you know, we need all the help. And like I said, the science of warfare, we need all the help we can to, you know, to those of us that are married, to get that information, to not only go past the wedding ceremony, but like you said, brother, marriage is a journey. So we need all the ammo, you know, in that spiritual warfare and everything. So again, brother, may Allah bless you all. Keep striving and stay wise and righteous. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, they come to love, brother. Thank you so much for weighing in, and you're absolutely right. We do need to get this type of information under our belt. Thank you for, I guess, confirming that what we're doing is needed and is of value. I'm thankful to know that people are catching it when we put the word out there, and they're coming on. So I'm welcoming you to the listening family, and I hope that you can spread the word and keep on coming back, because we want to keep on trying to have relevant topics like this, and making sure that we move ourselves from point A to point B and C on down the line. You know, we need to get to the point where if it's fundraiser night, or if, you know, if it's a general Sunday and we need to do something, everybody should have a $100 bill in his pocket, you know, and that's not just because he's carrying the only $100 bill he's ever had in his life, but, you know, we need to be able to have something. That's what we got pockets for. We're supposed to have something in them, you know. Who knows what we'll have to do? Who knows when Brother Eric may need me to cover something for him, or who knows when I may need him to cover something for me. We want for our brother what we want for ourselves. So I should have something in my pocket so that anytime I hear my brother's in need, then I got what my brother needs. And if we build that kind of brotherhood where all of us are strong, all of us are sharp steel, we are fantastic. There's nothing that we won't be able to do. But it starts with getting this knowledge, opening ourselves up, and thinking outside the box, like our leader told us to do. Think outside the box. I know you've been told this, and you've been told it this way for oh so long, but if you don't change and adapt and adjust and be fluid like water, then you won't be able to get past that big rock that's in your way. So you got to be able to make the moves that you need to make.
Wait, ain't he?
Say that again. Say that again. Somebody said something. I didn't hear exactly what he said. We're running out of time. We're getting down to the end of the line. We only got about 9 more minutes. This has been a great show. This has been a phenomenal topic. I think we're definitely going to have to tackle this again, because there's so much to learn when you talk about brothers making sure we are prepared. We only skimmed the surface today. So we're definitely going to have to do another part to this. Brother Eric, Brother Kareem, I hope that y'all can come back when we do part 2 to this show. Because we all have something to learn. We all have something to contribute to the conversation. So if I do part 2, will y'all come on back another time?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. I'll come back. You know, all you got to do is put the word out. And
well,
if you don't mind,
that,
I'd like to share something, which I
yes,
think
sir,
goes right along with this topic. Tomorrow night, here on Nation Building Network, 8 p.m., Conscious Black Nation, and I didn't know until I actually talked to you, but I'm looking at how the God works. But on Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m., our topic will be, what's love got to do with it? And it's deeper than Tina's song.
Okay.
I mean, it's coming right off the top of what we were discussing tonight.
All right. Well, we got a flow going, because I told Sister Gidget that I was going to be making a move in this direction with this show before
yes,
I even knew that she was doing her show on last Thursday. So it's a common theme that we all seem to be running with, and we didn't even plan it that way. So Allah is in control.
That's right. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That is wonderful. Well, we got about 8 more minutes. I want to let you all know what's coming up for the week. I don't, Sister Gidget used to come on and share the whole lineup for the week. I know we have Brother Jihad would be out on the front lines with the Nation, with the Fruit of Islam.
Yes,
he gives us boots on the ground report from around the country. I know he's got something good planned for this Tuesday night. We have a bunch of good shows. We got a wonderful show planned for every night of the week. On Wednesday night, we still have DJ Black Caesar doing his thing. On Thursday night, Sister Gidget comes on. I can't remember what her topic for this coming week is, but she's been having some heavy hitting for the past couple months. So tune in to the Nation's Building Network again on Thursday night. On Friday night, I know we have putting on the new man study group, where they are also revisiting, reviewing the time and what must be done lecture that was that's being done on Saturdays by Minister Louis Farrakhan. And on Saturday, I know that they have the, what did she call it? I can't even remember the name of the show. They have some wonderful
stuff.
Young
Gifted
and
Black.
That's the name of it. Young Gifted and Black. That's right. Some of the best talent, newest talent that's coming out of our community. Young, clean, artists, people who are doing hip-hop or jazz or spoken word or whatever it is, and it's stuff that you can actually share with the whole family, you know. Enlightening conversation, good music. Check out the Nation's Building Network because we always got something good for you, and we're going to be right back here next week. On the 20th, we have a guest, Brother Kareem Muhammad from Greenville, Mississippi, and his wife, Rashida Anur Muhammad from Mississippi. They are doing some phenomenal work down there. They're about to, I think this coming week, they're going to do a, they're doing a forum on technology and social media, using technology and social media to empower the black community. And they have a panel, a wide range of panelists. Brother Jesse Muhammad, who writes from The Final Call, he's going to be on the panel in Mississippi. We also have, I think they have some local radio station general managers and radio personalities that are going to be on. They have some other people who are into technology and business from different parts of the country. So they're doing a live event in Mississippi, and they've asked me to call into that live event. I believe that's going to be on the 27th, but on the 20th, which is not the 20th, pardon me, on the 23rd, which is next Sunday, on the No Romance Without Finance show, we're going to be featuring them as our guests, and I asked them to come on because they have worked the Steal Away program, and they've put 2 years working and have gotten themselves out of the rat race, away from having to work for anybody else on a plantation, and they're going to come on and show us how they did that, how they implemented it, and how it can be duplicated so that more of us can steal away, get ourselves off the plantation, and begin to put our effort and time into what we say we believe in, as opposed to putting so much time into working for somebody else. So that is it for the No Romance Without Finance show. Make sure you go and visit freedompapercompany.com. Make sure you go and visit noibiz.net. Check out some of the good resources that are available in your nation and from our community. And enjoy the rest of this day. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers who are doing it 365 days a year. And to all of the fathers who, for whatever reason, are separated from their children and want to be in their children's lives, want to be good fathers, but you have obstacles, you have whatever it is in the way, preventing and prohibiting you from doing what God put you on the earth to do. Believe you me, Allah answers prayers. So our prayers are going up to rectify the situation in your life and feel your pain. Keep doing what you're doing. Never give up the desire to be a responsible man in your children's lives. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That is it for the day. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.